94.5 The Lake presents Lake Views, a community service program. Here's our host, Libby Collins.
What comes to mind when you hear the word justice? Do you believe everyone receives fair and equitable treatment under the law? Joining us today to talk about victims, offenders, and the effect on the community is Jean Girasi. She's Executive Director of the Benedict Center. Jean, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, a lot of people aren't familiar with the Benedict Center. Can you tell us about its mission?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you our mission, and then I'll tell you what that means. Our mission is that it, as a nonprofit criminal justice agency, is to work with victims, offenders, and the community to achieve a system of justice that treats everybody with dignity and respect. And we have a hybrid model. On one side, we do direct service, which is really, in a nutshell, treatment alternatives to incarceration for women, offenders, and on the other side is an advocacy component to try and actually make policy changes and system changes in the justice system so that it's better for everybody.
All right. Now, you mentioned your work with women. What exactly is the Women's Harm Reduction Program?
That's a good question. Thank you. We focus on women because in many ways, women being the minority within the criminal justice system are, and they have special needs, are overlooked. And so in order to meet those unique needs that women have in the criminal justice system, we created a holistic wraparound treatment program that provides licensed drug and alcohol counseling, cognitive behavioral groups, trauma resolution groups, parenting classes, adult education, case management, really try and meet all of the underlying needs that a woman might have that might have gotten her into trouble in the first place, and try and resolve those underlying needs so that she can live a healthier, safer life for herself and her children.
And you mentioned trauma resolution. Mm. That makes me think that a lot of these women have been victims themselves before they were offenders. Do you find that to be the case?
You're so right. 78% of the women in our program report being survivors of trauma, whether that's sexual abuse or physical abuse. And that's really concurrent with the data on women in the criminal justice system. In our last newsletter, we did a story specific to domestic violence and wanted to underlie the fact that studies show that anywhere between 50 and 96% of women incarcerated have been victims of violence from their partner. So in many ways, women in the criminal justice system were victims long before they were ever considered offenders.
In some of those cases, are they women who are defending themselves who then end up in a criminal situation?
There are those cases. Those women are not the women that we're serving in our Women's Harm Reduction Program. And sadly, the conviction rate for women in self-defense and domestic violence situations is higher than the incarceration rate for the male perpetrator. The studies show that there really is some injustice happening with how women are treated in that vein. But I don't think that that's the majority of cases. I think that what's happening is that women are traumatized, and then they might start to use drugs to self-medicate to cover for that trauma, and then it's really drug-related charges that largely gets women incarcerated or initially in trouble with the law.
All right, we are talking with Jean Girasi. She is the executive director of the Benedict Center. Why is compassion necessary when you're dealing with offenders as well as with the victims? Obviously, if they're a victim of crime, we have a great deal of compassion for them. But what about compassion for the people who committed the crimes?
I think that's a great question. Victims absolutely need compassionate treatment, as you know, from the first responders to that crime, and then the ongoing support that they need in order to really process and heal from the trauma or the impact of that crime. And so I think you're right, it's generally accepted that victims require and deserve compassion. I personally think there's two ways to answer the question about why there should be compassion for offenders. The first is maybe more of a moral or spiritual value, that every human being has intrinsic value and that people are not their mistakes. Therefore, every human being is deserving of dignity and compassion. And many faith traditions, including the faith tradition that founded the Benedict Center originally, really hold to that value. And we continue to subscribe to the idea that that people deserve a second chance. The more direct or pragmatic answer So setting aside values is, as we just discussed, many of those women and many offenders are victims first. And so in order for them to actually have effective rehabilitation and treatment and not continue that behavior that creates more victims, they need compassionate treatment as an intervention to actually make a difference.
You said that people are not their actions or are not their crimes. Explain that concept.
I think that the idea is that people can change. That people have such value and that there are whole lives, and we need to consider people in the context of their entire lives and recognize that in many cases people can change and deserve a second chance, especially when we're talking about a certain level of crimes. Now, if you were to ask me, should no one be locked up? No, that's not my answer. Certainly there are some very violent offenses that require people to be separated from society. But the bulk of people incarcerated are there for nonviolent crimes, for drug-related crimes, and crimes that would really be better dealt with treatment instead of incarceration.
All right, so that brings up an offender's rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so in your mind or in what your studies have shown, how can compassion and true fairness affect an offender's rehabilitation?
I think it's really the determinant of success, whether that person is going to make it or not. It's not uncommon for women who are graduating from our program to say, you know what really made the difference for me, what really shifted for me to even want to change or believe that I could, it was how you treated me. It was that you treated me like a human being. And so if we don't treat people with dignity and respect, we may end up causing more harm than good, and we're not going to have the kind of successful outcomes that the Benedict Center does have because of our values.
Are you saying then that many of these women have never been treated kindly or with compassion or with love in their lives?
I think for many women they've had some a lot of tragedy, a lot of trauma, and a pretty rough upbringing, and I think some of them would tell you yes. We have a monthly awards ceremony where we give certificates for people to who have passed benchmarks and milestones. And early on, when I first started working at the Benedict Center, I remember a woman saying, this is the first time someone's ever told me good job.
I can see you're very emotional about that, working with these women on a daily basis. We're talking with Jean Gerasi, Executive Director of the Benedict Center. What exactly is the Community Justice Advocacy Program?
Well, it's really a blanket for a number of things, and it stems from our philosophy that honestly, the Benedict Center doesn't have enough resources to provide the direct services to all the women in need. And the only way to make a larger impact is if we can also shift policies and systems in order to benefit more people. And so we do a variety of things. We try and engage and educate the community. We try and build leadership among those people most directly impacted by the criminal justice system. And then we try and work with leaders within the system and within the government to actually affect meaningful change. So an example would be a recent shift that we've made with the police department in the 3rd District. We specialize in working with women who have been prostituted or women engaged in street prostitution. And the police were recognizing, as we have recognized, that it's really a revolving door for women to get arrested for prostitution and be sent to jail and then just come right back out and go right back to that same behavior. Without an intervention, nothing really changes other than that woman is getting a lot of fines that she can't afford to pay, and it's costing taxpayers a lot of money to incarcerate her. So we have a new way of doing things now in the 3rd District in cooperation with the police department, where the police are now bringing women to our program for 6 months rather than giving them a ticket or a warrant or locking them up. And so that's a shift or a different way of doing things, and we're getting positive results as a result.
How does the program work when you have these women in it? I mean, what do you do to work with them to get them out of this life?
It's not an easy process. Studies show that it's very difficult for women to exit prostitution. We take a harm reduction philosophy or approach. Sure. And so harm reduction really means meeting women where they are at, or meeting anybody where they're at. And rather than saying you absolutely have to stop what you're doing right now and change and act like this or else, and then a big consequence, that's not necessarily the most effective way. It's not how human beings change. So the idea is to meet the woman where she's at and then ask her, what is it that you need? And it might be stable housing before she's ready to necessarily think about drug or alcohol treatment. So it's about understanding where they're at and then moving through.
We're talking with Jean Girasi, Executive Director of the Benedict Center. When offenders are released from the system, from the prison system or whatever, it's hard for them to find a job. How does that affect their rehabilitation?
Well, the number one indicator that can predict whether someone recidivates or not, whether someone commits a crime and goes back or not, is having employment. And when we think about some crimes are related very much to a person's economic status. Prostitution would be one of them because it's a means of earning an income, if you will. So what's difficult for a person who has a record is the discrimination they faced in the job market in order to get a job. It's increasingly difficult, and there are more and more restrictions on what a person's background has to be in order to qualify for certain licensing or certain jobs. So that really narrows a person's chances, and it makes it much more challenging. It's something that a number of people in the community are continuing to work with, both in partnering with employers that are willing to give someone a second chance and understand that the person in front of them can still be an asset to their company despite the mistakes that they made in the past. It's also about job training for jobs where that won't necessarily be a hindrance.
Can you share some success stories about offenders who have successfully rehabilitated?
Sure. Let me tell you the story about Julie. And this story actually relates to a recent advocacy success that we had as well. Julie was locked up. Julie had a drug problem, and she was originally locked up in the House of Corrections in Franklin for 7 months for shoplifting to support her drug habit. The problem we've been facing in the community and the advocacy issue that we sought to address is that the House of Corrections currently provides no treatment or rehabilitation for people like Julie. Julie spent 7 months in the House of Corrections, and she worked in the kitchen third shift, and that was it. She didn't have any other kind of intervention. People don't magically change just because they're locked up. So after 7 months, she was released, and she did what we could have predicted she would have done. She went right back to using and then stealing to support her habit. The second time around, however, that she was caught, she was sent to Milwaukee County's drug court, which is a problem-solving court that says, you know, you're a chronic offender because of your drug addiction. Let's assign you to some drug treatment instead of just doing this revolving door of locking you up. So in that case, she was referred to our program, completed a year of drug and alcohol counseling with us, and today still is drug-free and crime-free, and in fact comes back to the Benedict Center as a volunteer.
And let's talk about volunteers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're a not-for-profit organization. Mm-hmm. You're looking for people who want to work with you.
Right. So one of the biggest sort of bodies of volunteers that we are trying to recruit and definitely value are our tutors for our adult education program. So anyone who'd be interested in helping to tutor a woman to achieve her GED, you could definitely give us a call, and we'd be happy to set you up, train you, and get you going. But also, whatever your talent and gift may be, if you have a deep interest in supporting our mission, we can look at and potentially create a customized job, whether maybe you have a background in IT, maybe it's in management, and really we could work with you.
And can you tell us some other ways the community can help to improve the justice system in itself?
I think that one of the saddest things I think one of the most challenging things about achieving justice in the criminal justice system is that people who are incarcerated very much are out of sight and out of mind. They're easy to forget because we're not encountering them on a daily basis. But I think it's important to note that there are a tremendous number of people whose lives are being interrupted because they're serving time. And the court system deemed fit to put them there. However, there are some different approaches that we could take in this community to have more effective outcomes. We have double the incarceration rate of Minnesota, even though we have the same population and the same crime rate. There's a great organization called Wisdom that's really tackling this issue to try and reduce our overall level of incarceration by increasing community alternatives like the Benedict Center. The Benedict Center is joining with Wisdom to really tackle this, and so what we very much need are for people to be aware of these issues, to get themselves informed or educated, connect with us so that we can share this information and help us support those kinds of changes.
And Jean, if people would like more information about the Benedict Center, what's your website?
www.benedictcenter.org.
And we will have a link to that on our website at 94.5 Lake FM. Jean Girasi, Executive Director of the Benedict Center, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for 94.5 Lake Views, I'm Libby Collins.